I want to just give a brief introduction to our Noah tonight. No Bitul Mekach, no real Chidushim, just kind of outline what we're going to be learning about. Our Noah is a often misunderstood Isser. Well, the truth is, our Noah is two things. It's both an Isser, it's a Lav, Lo So Nuishes Tupsukim, Lo So Nuishes Achiv, Lo So Nuishes Amiso. Chazal understand that one of them is our Noah's Dvarim, one of them is our Noah's Mamon. The Pasuk says, get to that later in the Perek, Pasuk says, Chisim Kremkar La Misecha, O Kanom Yad Misecha, Al Tonu Ish Asachiv. And a couple of Pasuk or two later, Lo Sonu Ish Asamiso. Mars Gunadarshan, one is Onas Mammon, one is Onas Dvarim. Even the word Onas is somewhat difficult to translate. Articulus, he has a grieve, has something to do with pain or two. Actually, it's a little confusing because Onas with an Inui with an Ayin also means pain. Imtanu Espinosai Ona, stuff like that, Bayaneha. But this is Onah with an Aleph. It has something to do with pain or injury, although it's a hard word to translate. And again, Chazal and Dashan, there are two Lavin, actually. Chinuch, two separate Lavin. One is Onah's Dvarim, one is Onah's Mammon. Onah's Dvarim, we're going to learn later. Different types of insulting or hurtful things. You shouldn't remind him of his past Averis, other things like that. Onah's Mammon has something to do with injuring somebody in Mammon. What exactly does it mean? So there's a famous, very difficult to understand, Gemara, actually, in the beginning of a Zunesha. Gemara asks a very peculiar-sounding question. Gemara says, Amar Rava, Lomali dekatz v'rachmana lav beribis, lav begeza, lav be'onah. There are three lav in the Torah. Stealing, ribis, and onah. Why do you need three? You should be able to learn one from the other. I mean, they're all variations of the same thing. Gemara says, no, tzrichi. Each one has a chiddush. So Ribbis is the chiddush because if you look below us for Rachmana, we would have said Ribbis, and Ribbis is not even Chashem Mishpah. Ribbis is that's the point. Ribbis is consensual. Ribbis is that both parties agree, which is really what the Gemara says. If you look below us for Torah, what the Havmina was, and you'd learn Ribbis from Gezel. If the Torah just wrote Gezel, you would figure out for yourself Ribbis was Aser. Very hard to understand. On a very basic level, the Yisod of the Gemara is that all these three Lavin are somehow related. Ribbis, Onah, and Gezel, they're all some form of depriving somebody of his property unfairly, by charging him ribbis, by doing onah, or by outright stealing. The chinuch has language which is really the key to the whole onah, which now often quoted, but it really is the key to the whole idea of onah. When he gives the shirashe hamitzvah of onah's mammon, he says, it's pashut, davar shaseh chol meir alav, im lo nichtav, dinu sheyichtav. Why? What's the idea of onah? She'ein roi lakachas mammon b'nei adam derech sheker v'tarmas. The issue of Onah is that it's sheker v'tarmas. It's cheating, it's deceit, it's fraud. And that's really Onah in a nutshell. Onah is all about fraud. This is what I was saying before. People often misunderstand Onah. People think Onah has to do with profiteering or price controls or you're not allowed to charge certain prices. Onah, the bottom line of Onah is a question of fraud. The idea is that if the mocher is cheating the lakech doesn't realize that the price he's paying is not a fair price, or vice versa. And there are some cases you can have Onah is symmetrical. People sometimes think Onah is consumer protection. It's not. Onah protects both parties of a transaction equally. Onah, you can have, there are certain nafkaminas, you may have seen one already on how long it can be chazer, but that's technical reasons, not because we have rachmanis on one more than the other. Onah be yisod, Onah is a perfectly symmetrical din. Either party to a transaction can be guilty of Onah klape the other one. In the real world, maybe it's more common. The Tagri Lud were experts in Onah, apparently, but in any event, in the real world, maybe it's more common for the Mocher to cheat the Lakech, but Onah B'Yisod is a symmetrical din. It refers to either party of a transaction charging the other one a price, which is not fair. We'll have to discuss what not fair means. But again, the Yisod is, it's Sheker V'Tarmis. It's based on telling a Sheker. As we're going to see, many Nafkaminas throughout the case of Onah, since the whole idea is essentially a form of fraud, there generally is not going to be Onah if both parties know what the fair price is and they understand that there's a deviation from the fair price. That's generally the most basic way to get around Onah. The classic example of that is Tnai. We discussed last month, we learned Prozbols, we discussed the idea of Amanasha, Shalotash Mitena B'Shvi'is, which works, we paskin that works. Similarly, in Onah, there's a similar idea too. It's possible to stipulate in a transaction of Onah, Al-Manash Ein Lecha Alay Onah, and that works. We pass in, like Shmuel, it's only if you say, you specify how much the Onah is, because if you just say vaguely, generally, any Onah, we say Chazal understood that he was L'yada D'machel. He doesn't really know. He might say the words, I'm Machel, but we don't really believe he really deep down is Machel. But again, that's a technical problem. That's a problem. We don't believe he has mechila b'lev shalom. We don't believe he really knows. He's just saying the words. But so it's a little different than simple fraud, because even if he says the words, I don't mind. That's not enough. But I'll culp on him if he knows what the fair price is and he acknowledges it. And even there are other cases too, where for some reason or another we believe or we know that the parties know the fair price. They know what the price actually is, and they know that the price they're using is not the actual price. That's not enough. That has nothing to do with or not. There might be other issues involved. Again, there's a separate issue about price controls, about price gouging and profiteering. Mr. Drabanan, it's also in the Shulchan Aruch. It's nearby. Hilchas Arna. That's a completely separate issue. That's not what the Torah had in mind when the Torah wrote Lo Tonu Ishes Achav Ishes Amiso. That's not the issue. The issue is it's a form of gezel. It's a form of sheker. It's a form of fraud. It's a form of taking advantage one party or the other, who doesn't realize that the price he's getting is not the fair price. Now, as you mentioned earlier, Ona is two things. Like many of the lavim in Choshen Mishpat, like Gezel itself, like other lavim, like Shemitah, the lav of Loigus, there are really two aspects. There is an Isser Torah, like Isser Shabbos, Isser Kashrus, anything else. There's Isser Veheter, and there's Dine Mamonis. When it comes to Gezel, for example, Lo Sigzel, don't steal, Lo Signov. And if you do, then there's halachas. When are you kana? When are you not kana? When do you have to give it back? Shinui rishus, yush b'chti, yush with shinui Hashem. There are all kinds of halachas. Similarly, when it comes to ana, there are two aspects to ana. There's the iser, lo sonu ish as achiv. That's an iser daraisa lechatchila to do ana. And besides that, there are the rules of when ana is chozer and when it's not. And that's most of the discussion in the sugyas, in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Poskim. Most, just like in Gzela, most of the discussion doesn't deal with the Isser v'Heter Shabbat. Most of the Choshen Mishpat deals with Tevev Nitva. Under what circumstances does he have the right to be Ma'akev? Not really in a get to have a Din Torah, but Anah L'Chatchila. If you're being Tevev, the guy not to do Anah, then don't buy from him. Or if you know the fair price, then there's no Anah. So typically in a Basin setting, in a Shulchan Aruch setting, the issue is usually going to be after the fact. He already did it, and the Shaila was, can he either be Machzir the Anah, can he be Mevatel the whole Mekach? That's what we'll see in the sugya as it unfolds. Most of the discussion is about this question of the remedies of Bittul Mekach and Chazar Sarna, not about the Isser per se. Although the Isser per se, it's important to know too, when there's an Isser and when there's not. There are actually a few very important cases in the Poskim where the two things actually split apart. There are several important cases where there may not be any remedy of Bittul Mekach or Chazar Sarna, but there might still be a Lav Daraisa. One example is a famous Rush, which we'll see soon, hopefully. The Rush talks about the case of Ona Pachas Mishtus. Pachas Mishtus is no remedy. There's Mechila, the Gemara says. There's no Chazara. You don't get the money back. You can't be Mevatel LeMekach. Are you allowed to do a Lechatchila? Are you over an Isra Daraisa for doing this? For deliberately, at least, being Ma'ana Pachas Mishtus. The Rush is Mesupik. We pass in its Asra Lechatchila. That's one example of a case where the Isser shares away from the din of Bittul Mekach and Chazara Sarna. Another example.
Is that something that we would like, you know, we say we Bezdin can go out of the way to stop him doing Isurim? Can we?
Bezdin be kofer you or to mafish you from an Isser? I think they could.
Not the Tagrid, it seemed to.
I mean, they got away. They were doing it all the time. Why didn't Bezdin step in?
You
mean,
you know, so.
So there are going to be some halachas that Bezdin's job is to mefakeach al ha'sharim. Bezdin is supposed to monitor this. How were they getting away with it systematically enough that the whole city had a reputation for it? That is a good question. I have to think about that. I'm not sure. But yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, Lachar Bezdin could stop you, but. So another example actually is karka. This is a very common shaila too. We're going to see a din that karka is nismayet from ana. Geres akasev miyad amisecha davar nikna miyad liad, not karka. So there's no remedy on karka. There is actually a big machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say that once you hit palga, there is a question of chazaras ana. Some rishonim say there isn't. But in any event, there's also a shaila in the rishonim and achronim whether there's still an isra lechatchila. To the Isser Daraisa Lechatchila, according to some poskim, to do or no, even if there's no remedy at all. Because again, the Isser and the B'di'evit are not totally Habaha necessarily. Third example has to do with non-Jews. Non-Jews, are this, even though Gezel Akum is Asur, according to some poskim, it's Daraisa, according to some poskim, it's Drabanan. Ona, it says that non-Jews are Nismayed from Ona. But again, some poskim learn that only means Nismayed from the Dinim of Chazaras Ona, but there still is an Isser, maybe even an Isser Daraisa, to do Ona to a non-Jew. And some Poskim say no, then no, Bechlal doesn't apply, just like Ribbis doesn't apply Bechlal to non-Jews, even the Isser Shabbos, or no, too. we used to have cases in Dine Torah in Lakewood where people would be involved in real estate, buying houses, flipping houses, and I remember one particular case where somebody was coming in to, it was a yard loan, this case, two real estate speculators were fighting over, on a Mahapach case, they were fighting over who should have the right to do a certain deal, and it was a major steal because they found a little old lady who had no idea how much the house was worth. She lived in Texas, she inherited from a relative who died in Lakewood, she had no idea how much the property was worth. Somebody, waved the check for $100,000 at her, the house was worth, five times that or whatever. And they were both explaining to us how this was such a gewaldige steal because this is such a tremendous profit. We pointed out to them, I said, do you know that the Shalom is a Daraisa? I said, it might not be Bittel Mekach, well, first of all, it's Karka, and second of all, she's a non-Jew, but in both those cases, there was a real Shalom is a Daraisa. To deliberately offer somebody a price that's way out of line with a fair price is a real Shalom is a Daraisa, even if there's no din, Bittel Mekach, or Chazaras or no. Now, These dinim of the remedies, I keep calling them, Bittel Mekach and Chazara Sarna, it's not clear exactly where they come from. The Torah doesn't really, the Torah only says don't do it. The Torah only stresses the lav. The Al Tonu, Lo Tonu Ishas Achiv, Lo Tonu Ishas Amisa. The Torah doesn't say anything about these dinim of Chazara, Bittel Mekach. And it sounds like they're Svaras, the Mechila, these types of Svaras, and it sounds like they're mostly, like a lot of Chashim Eshbar, it's just Chazal's understanding of. But nevertheless, as we said, most of the halacha we're going to learn is going to focus on the remedies, on the bediyeved, what the halacha is. Now, the other aspect of our limud is going to be bittel mekach in general, mum, bittel mekach. That has to do with it has to do with a misprice, where the price is not fair, klape the true value of what the item is really worth. Bittel mekach is where the mum bittel mekach has to do with. Mekachtos is, the classic word, usually is used to mean there was something wrong with the object. You bought a cow, you didn't know it was lame. You bought a car, you didn't know that the engine is shot. So that's mekachtos. That completely has nothing to do with tzukim in the Torah. That's basically, it seems, just svara, just Chazal's understanding of yosher and of basic svara and mekachum memkar. Again, there is an isser to deliberately sell somebody something and withhold a mum. There's a halacha yimchuyev to reveal mumim, either because of anah or because of gneivas das. We'll discuss more about what the isser is in pulling the wool over somebody's eyes regarding a mum. But again, there are two isurim. There's an isser l'chachila to do it, but most of the halachic literature is on the bedieved. What happens? What's a mum? What's considered a mum? What are the remedies in the case of a mum? And there is a certain intersection, a certain overlap between bittel mekach of mum and anah. That if I sell you a car that, assuming the engine is good, a used car with a decent engine is worth $5,000, this model, and the engine is bad, a car with a bad engine is only worth $2,000, because you either have to replace the engine or you have to scrap it. And so in that case, you've basically done both. There's a mum because, there's a bittel mekach because of the mum, because the car has a major mum. It's also a question of anah yosem yishdus. The value of the car is worth a whole lot less than what you paid for it. And in those cases, you'll be able to be Taveya Bittel Mekach because of two separate svaras, both because of Arna, which is the first sugya that we're learning, Arna Yosem Mishnas, as well as because of the Dine Mum, which is something we'll get to later in the Limud.
That also might not involve an Isser if neither party was aware that it was a shot engine.
Right. So that's another question which I kind of glossed over before, and this is a kind of finicky, difficult question to answer. When some of the poskim, we'll see the poskim maybe as we go, some of the poskim, when they define the Torah, I think, when they define the Isser of Onah, they say there's an Isser for someone who knows the fair price and deliberately charges, overcharges or underpays, he's over a lav daraisa. Mashmos is that if you don't know, you're not over the lav. The question is, what does that mean? Does that simply mean you're a shogeg? If you don't know, then obviously it's not your fault because you don't know. But it's like any other issur. If you don't know, so you're a shogeg. You're an honest, a shogeg. Or does it mean no? That there's something that part of the definition of the issur of anah, the issur only applies if you know. The issur is to do it deliberately. If you're not doing it deliberately, that's not the tzur of the issur at all.
And therefore, there's no recourse. You mean
no. Nothing with the nafkmina. One nafkmina might be one practical nafkmina might be. How careful should you be to find out the right price before you sell? As far as I know, I found an old antique in my attic. It's redundant, old antique. I found an antique, selling it. Here's my price. So I don't have patience, my interest in finding out the fair price. This is what I want for it. Give it to me good. If not, not. Is that allowed or not? If the pshat is, as long as I don't know it's fine, maybe that's okay. If the pshat is that if I don't know I'm a shogig, maybe I should at least make some effort to find out and make sure that I'm not overcharging. This is something which is not so clear. Maybe we'll be able to get some clarity as we go on. But this is something which also is not entirely clear when you're over the Isser and when you are not. The most difficult problem in all of Hanah, and I don't have a good answer for this, and we probably won't have a great answer for this even by the time we finish, is how to define what the fair price of Hanah is. Chazal always just talk about here and in Ribbis and other sugyos and shas. Chazal always just talk about a shahr, as if there's something, some well-defined, some well-understood notion of the going price for the object, and then everything else is calculated based on the shahr. Very, very unclear what the definition of a shahr is, particularly in today's economy, where there are always going to be different stores charging different prices for an object. Very, very unclear what the definition of the shahr is, what the base is for calculating or not. There are all kinds of theories around. Some poskim say that you should take the lowest price, and everything above that is a shaila varna. Some poskim say you take the range of all normal stores, something considered a normal range, and outside that range is considered a what's defined as the normal range itself is a problem. Some poskim say you find some kind of average, whether it's a median or a mean. That's the shaila, and going beyond that is a na. According to several of these tshatim, we have a very strange situation that many, many stores out there are being over a na. It's a difficult thing. Not all stores are Jewish, but even Jewish stores, groceries, you can find a lot of Jewish stores where you're not going to find one constant price. According to many of these definitions, you're going to be saying that many Jewish stores are being over or no, which is always a problematic thing to say. So maybe as we go, maybe we'll discuss, hopefully in more detail on a later date, what the definition of the shahr is.